Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Advent Christians. The sermon text today is the gospel appointed for this first Sunday of the Advent season, and I would invite you to rise for the sermon text as I read it. Jesus said these words, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon us, that as he dwells in our hearts, that he would teach us, that he would make us to be alert and prepared for your return. We pray that you would sanctify us and set us apart from this world so that we are ready for the next when you come. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. And you may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it sure gets dark outside early now, doesn't it? Like 5 o'clock, it's already dark outside and it's hard to see where you're going. And it's especially hard to figure out where the key fits in the doorknob when there's no light. And when you're cold and you just want to get inside, and so you fumble around with the key trying to figure out how to get in, and finally you do. It's much easier when the light is on, and that's why we turn the light on, keep the light on for someone who's coming home late or for a guest. And it's so easy nowadays. You just flip the light switch on and there you go, and hopefully the light bulb works. But in ancient times, it was quite a bit more work. Candles and lamps had to be checked because the wind could blow them out or they could run out of oil. Torches, even, could be blown out in the wind. There weren't any street lights. And so when people came at night, the light needed to be kept on. And it took some work. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about the end of the world, he used just this picture for them. He told of a household where the master had gone away for some reason. He left his house and put his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. The servants of the master were to keep watch, to be prepared, to be ready for his return. This is the very situation that we find ourselves in today. Isn't it true that Jesus did once walk this earth among the people of Israel? He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up as the son of a carpenter in Nazareth. And yet, as we thought about last week, Christ the King, Sunday, he is our Lord. He is the King of Kings. He's our Creator God, the only true God. And our Master has left his house for a little while, though he's certainly near to us. It is written, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. After he had fully paid for our sins on the cross, after he had arisen from the dead by his own power, after he spent 40 days reassuring the people and proving who he was, he ascended into heaven. Jesus went back to that place that he had come from. But during his earthly ministry, Jesus always taught that one day soon he would return, not in humility as the infant in the manger, like he had come the first time, but with great glory as the returning, as the victorious king. Remember Jesus' words to Caiaphas, the high priest. I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. The owner of this house is returning, fellow redeemed, just like the owner of the house in Jesus' story. And that's the first thing that we ought to be thinking about. We go about our daily lives often forgetting this situation that we really are in. Our master has given us jobs to do while he is away. To the one, he's given it to that person to be a parent. To another, to obey a parent. To another, he's given a husband and child to care for. To another, the responsibility of authority and teaching. We know this because God himself has told us what he would have us believe and do. He need not speak it in our ears. His word is here for all to see. Have we carried out our duties, which the Master has entrusted to us? I think that these words are a little like hearing, just wait until your father gets home. Maybe you heard that from your mom. I sure did. We do not know when our Lord will arrive. So these words strike us down and we're forced to anticipate what our master will say when he returns, when he finds us not doing everything that we should be doing, when he finds us doing things that he specifically commanded us not to do. What will he say when he looks at the records of how we've spent our time, our money, our thoughts? What will he say? What will he say when he sees the poor and hungry and needy out on the street next to the door of his house? What will he say when he asks our neighbors about our attitude towards them and the things that we've said behind his back? The master has every right to be furious with us. We're not worthy servants. But this is not the point of the parable. Jesus is not telling us here, shape up or else. Why would the master do this? Why would the master tell this story when he himself came to be the atoning sacrifice, the full payment for our sins? Well, he makes the point so that we might examine ourselves in this moment, that we might recognize our failings, and in faith repent, knowing that he is the merciful and kind master who forgives. He does not condemn us, but he does point us to the one task that we all share. We must keep watch. We must be alert, the text says in their original language. Keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Jesus wants us to wait for him. Not like we wait for the line at the MVD, staring at our smartphone or trying to make some small talk with somebody or staring at the ceiling. He says, watch. Be alert. He wants us to put effort into this, to be ready in faith when he returns. But we'll never be prepared if we don't believe. This is not something for the unbelievers. They can't prepare. It is for us who know his love, who have heard his word, who know his grace. We're not prepared by torturing ourselves with guilt. We're not prepared by
torturing ourselves with our failures and our sins and our weaknesses. We're prepared when the trust that God has placed into our hearts is exercised in repentance and good works and sacrifices for Him. We don't have to give up one thing for the Master because He has everything. We don't have to do good for God's sake. He's accomplished every good thing and more because of who He is. We don't need to sacrifice anything. God has neither desired nor taken pleasure in the sacrifices and the offerings and the burnt offerings and the sin offerings, say the Scriptures. Because everything that we might sacrifice is nothing in comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, God's own Son. He gave up His life for you and for me. What could ever compare to that? God wants us prepared, and so He has given us His Word to first work faith in our hearts, and then to strengthen that faith every time we hear it and mark it and learn it and take it to heart. Every time we treasure up in our hearts what it says about Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, His miraculous incarnation, His humble birth, His perfect life, His innocent death at the hands of the very creation He came to save, His glorious resurrection on the third day, confirming every promise of God, His amazing ascension. Be prepared. Watch. Watch what He says. Pay attention to Him. This is what God wants for you. And that is what your believing heart desires most. Then even though the Master comes at a time that you did not know, you will not be afraid. But you will welcome Him. You will not fear Him when He comes to take you from this little paltry tent to the city of His mansions in heaven above. Nor will you worry about the last day, even though you know that every material thing that you cherish right now will burn away as though by fire. Instead of worrying about your future, we will cast our anxieties upon Him because we know He cares for us. Instead of whiling away the time in idleness or depression, we will be busy about His house, the church, making preparations by preaching the good news to all creation for our neighbors, reflecting the fact that Christ gave Himself for us and for them too, for the whole world even. There's much to do, and we have a heartfelt desire to do it. But I tell you, think of this. What if we look at our hearts and we find there little desire to help? Little desire to do the hard work. What if I find in here that I'm weak in faith, lacking in determination, and willing to let time just slip on by because I can't do what I used to be able to do or because I don't care? The very fact that you and I can see those tendencies in our hearts, the very fact that we know these are not God's will for us, the very fact that we know somehow that God has something better in mind for us is sure proof that you have faith, that the Spirit lives within you, that He teaches you, that He strengthens you, that He calls you to repentance, not once, but every moment of every day. And every word we hear from His good book, does it not give us a renewed and faith-filled determination, a real gladness to serve the Lord? And herein is how you keep the light on in your home this Advent season. Take time to bring the Word to your families with devotions. Take time to seek out those midweek services at one of our churches. Make sure to set aside time during the week to read and be encouraged by the Word of God. Children, listen to God's Word and learn with your parents. And all of us, let us share the Word and not put the light under a bushel. The light is on in your home, if fellow redeemed, because the owner is returning. And though we don't know when, we keep watch at his command. May we be ready, encouraged by his word. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.